Chapter 23. A groggy wookie groan reverberated through the frigid hold of the exquisite death. Cautiously, Anakin craned his neck around. Lobaka and many others remained hidden behind a small grove of Isolamiri-laden trees the Yuuzhan Vong had marched into the hold. But he could see Jaina and Errol opposite him, and Jovan and the Barabels on the wall adjacent. Still secured to the floor with their hands between their knees, they were all fidgeting, trying to relieve the strain on their back and legs. The Barabels seemed especially uncomfortable, with their thick tails stretched behind them and secured at the tip with Blorash jelly. Anakin glanced over at Zek and his brother and raised his brow. Zek nodded eagerly, but Jason closed his eyes and looked away. Unable to imagine what was troubling his moody brother, and not sure he cared, Anakin lowered his chin toward his left armpit.
"Activate escape," he whispered.
There was a hot tingle as the subcutaneous implant relayed the message. Then a heavy foot scuffed the floor behind him. Anakin ducked and caught the expected strike on his much-bruised shoulder. "Quiet, Jedi," the guard said. "Another word and I'll fill your mouth with Blorash jelly." Uncertain how long the war droids would need, or even whether they were still attached to the ship, Anakin fixed his gaze on the floor. The guard hovered another 30 seconds, then shuffled off. Many minutes later, a series of distant thuds sounded forward in the ship. From the next hold back came a much louder whumph, then the muffled roar of explosive decompression and the clatter and shriek of equipment and creatures tumbling into the void. In the back of the Jedi's hold, the door membranes bowed dangerously outward, but held long enough to turn opaque and stiffen into durasteel-like panels. The subaltern barked something in Yuuzhan Vong. When no response came from his shoulder villip, he sent two guards forward to investigate, assigned 8 more to watch the Jedi prisoners, and took the last 2 to the rear of the hold. Anakin knew that by now, 2-1S would be standing guard as 2-4S sealed the breach, using emergency patching foam to mate the open equipment pod to the Death's exterior hull. He watched the guards carefully, alert for any hint of an order coming through their shoulder villips. The subaltern pressed his face close to the door, as though to breathe on it. But then a cannon bolt came blasting through the opaque membrane and sprayed black gore everywhere. Anakin's ears popped as the hold pressures equalized, and the subaltern's 2 escorts were reduced to so much smoking flesh by a series of strobe-like weapon flashes. The rest of the Yuuzhan Vong reached for thud bugs and amphistaffs. Some turned to assault the strike team and fell to a flurry of screaming green bolts as 2-1S crashed into the hold. A coat of icy rime was forming on his space-cold armor, and his photoreceptors were fogging over. Anakin feared the droid would be forced to stand idle while his surface temperature stabilized. Instead, 2-1S activated a thermal defogger and cut down 2 more enemies as they dived for cover. He raised his other arm and began knocking Isolamiri from their trees with an optional electro-ray discharger. Anakin's guard yelled something about Jedi and spun to attack Anakin, and was cut in half by a torrent of rapid-fire blaster bolts. The stream swept down the wall, chopping through an Isolamiri tree to dismember a Yuuzhan Vong whirling on Jason. As 2-1S did all this, he was advancing into the hold, taking thud bugs in the chest and scorching 2 warriors near Jaina with electro-rays. It could not have escaped anyone's notice that the droid was protecting the 3 Solos, a programming adjustment Lando had neglected to mention, but the others had no cause to complain. YVH-24S entered the hold on the heels of 2-1S, one arm firing a blaster cannon, the other mini-rockets. He shot through the elbows of a Yuuzhan Vong attempting to behead Jovan Drark, then chased another, away from Tekli, with a self-guiding mini-rocket. Only Tisar had to defend himself, ripping his tail free of the Blorash jelly and, leaving the tip behind, sweeping his attacker off his feet. The Yuuzhan Vong landed hard, but leveled his amphistaff at Tisar's midsection, only to have his arms pinned to the floor by Bella's tail, also tipless. Krossoff finished the fight by smashing her tail, tipless as well, across his windpipe.
"Surprise!" Tisar rasped.
This launched the three Barabels into a bewildering fit of laughter. Tisar used the raw end of his tipless tail to flip open the dead Yuuzhan Vong's waist pouch and began flicking beetles at the blur-ash jelly binding nearby Jedi to the floor. Anakin looked across the hold to 2-1-S. "Secure the doors," he ordered. A beetle landed beside Anakin's ankle, then several more between him and Jason, and soon they were free. He assigned one group to retrieve weapons and equipment from the pod, another to dispose of the Isla Miri, and the rest of the Jedi to evaluate the group's medical condition and tend to Yulaha. Only then did he join 2-1-S at the forward door, where the droid was peering through the translucent membrane down a long access corridor.
"Report. Sir, we are 15 seconds ahead of schedule."
2-4-S was able to penetrate the hull with 10 coma gas canisters. Effectiveness assessment currently unavailable. 3 Voxen were detected in the stern hold and attacked with Class C thermal detonators. Post-blast sensor sweep detected no sign of surviving life forms.
"And the vessel itself?" Anakin asked.
Tekli appeared beside him, her pudgy Chadrafan snout twitching incessantly as she reached up to spray a pain-numbing antiseptic over his raw back. He nodded his thanks, but kept his attention fixed on 2-1-S.
"Were you able to do any internal mapping?"
"Sir, we are aboard a Corvette analog picket boat, length 122 meters, estimated crew 98.
2-1-S said. "Ultrasonic soundings suggest a 2-level design with back-to-back decks sharing a common floor, 4 main access corridors, 3 aft holds, forward-facing bridge in the bow, and a substantial network of non-diagrammed ducts."
Anakin groaned inwardly. The ducts would make it easy for the enemy to move around undetected.
The Barabels came up behind him, loaded with weapons, equipment, and bulky jumpsuits.
1-1-A fished these out of the fushlock, Tisar said,
passing Anakin's lightsaber to him. As Anakin took it, the lambent crystal inside opened him to the presence of the Yuuzhan Vong, an indistinct fury somewhere forward in the ship. Bella pointed to a gob of frozen gunk on the handle.
"Want that meat?"
Not really.
Anakin knocked the garbage off the handle and clipped the weapon to the equipment harness Tisar was holding out to him. The Barabels exchanged expressionless reptilian glances, then Kossoff retrieved the gunk and divided it into 3 even pieces. Anakin rolled his eyes and selected a blaster pistol and 6 stun grenades from the small arsenal Tisar was carrying, then called the rest of the group over, while Tahiri, who had insisted on taking the duty over from Tekli, plastered his back with Bacta bandages. Bella passed jumpsuits to those who were not yet dressed, and within moments everyone on the strike team was garbed in a simple brown uniform that made the Jedi Knights seem both efficient and intimidating. The jumpsuits were also light armor, for they were lined with the same alternating layers of Molytex and quantum fiber that made the YVH droid's laminanium armor so impenetrable. In a pinch, they could even serve as vac suits. They had been designed to work with the emergency suits worn back on Eclipse, but attached independently to the appendage pieces and could be made airtight in their own right. Anakin divided the strike team into 2 squads, assault and support, and outlined his plan. After allowing everyone a few moments to meditate and rejuvenate their anguished bodies through the Force, they opened their emotions to each other. As Jason weaved the battle meld, Anakin sensed a certain reservation in his brother, some misgiving that sent unsettling ripples through the entire strike team. He immediately regretted not sending Jason back with Lando, but swallowed his irritation and focused on the task at hand. The team would sense his resentment through their emotional bond, and such distractions were the last thing they needed now. Anakin fitted a breath mask over his nose and mouth, then affixed the attachable hood to his jumpsuit to protect his head. When the others did the same, He was so awed by the effect that he instantly felt better.
"Astral," he exclaimed. "Let's go do this."
YVH-21S opened his elbow and fired a pair of flash grenades down the corridor, then stepped through the tattered door membrane. Thudbugs began to plink at his laminanium armor. He silenced the source with a flurry of blaster bolts, and the Jedi followed him forward. The interior of the ship looked oddly cavern-like and murky, with hazy circles of bioluminescent lichen clinging to the walls, and clouds of coma gas swirling through the air and door valves sagging open every 2 meters. Anakin advanced with lightsaber in hand and blaster holstered. Behind him came Tesar Sebatine, a big B-100 power blaster cradled in both arms, then Alima Rar and the rest of the assault squad. Jason was in the middle with Tenel Ka, followed by an indignant Tahiri. She wanted to be in front with Anakin, and Bella and Krossoth Hara. Last came 2-4S, who was tasked with covering Lobaka while the Wookiee used a laser drill to insert flechette mines into the system ducts. Jaina remained behind with Ulaha and the support squad, covering the other corridors with powerful blaster mini-cannons. As Anakin and the others moved toward the bridge, it grew apparent that the coma gas had done its job well. Unconscious, Yuuzhan Vong lay sprawled across sagging door valves, curled up in sleeping nests, slumped over duty stations in shielding nodules and weapon turrets. Several had fallen to the floor in front of Nulith's, the Yuuzhan Vong equivalent of breath masks, and one crew member had even managed to lay the thing on his face before falling prey to the neural effects of the coma gas. The strike team was attacked only once, when Anakin sensed a sudden flare of enemy anxiety behind a half-open door valve. By the time he turned to warn the others, a Nulith-masked warrior was flinging a pair of thudbugs into Bella's shoulder. The projectiles smashed harmlessly against her jumpsuit's armored lining, and she barely flinched before jerking her attacker from his hiding place and skewering him on her sister's waiting lightsaber. As they drew near the bow, the assault team lost contact with the Force, no doubt because Isol Amiri were near. Anakin lost his sense of the Yuuzhan Vong as well, a hint that the lambent crystal was somehow connected to the Force. It was good to know, he supposed, but he really didn't care as long as it worked when the Force returned. 10 meters ahead, the corridor ended in a vertical bulkhead, where an unconscious Yuuzhan Vong warrior hung as though pinned to the wall. The strange sight confused no one. Like all good starship designers, the enemy made the most of shipboard space, utilizing their Dovin basals to orient gravity in the most convenient direction. The bulkhead looked like a wall from the assault squad's current perspective, but it would become a floor as soon as they crossed the open area and placed a foot on it. A gentle whoomph shook the corridor behind them, and 2-1S said, 2-4S reports mine detonation in the main elimination duct. Ultrasonic soundings suggest the triggering agent was a Voxen, injured but not crippled.
Voxen?
Anakin demanded from beneath his breath mask. I thought 2-4S disintegrated them. There was a 0.08 chance of a single survival, 2-1S pointed out. 2-4S calculates the odds of a double survival. Don't tell me, Anakin said, raising a hand. I really don't want to know. He used his comlink to warn Jaina about the Voxen and sent 2-4S back to watch ducts for her, then asked 2-1S for a see-through sensor sweep. 11 conscious warriors waiting on the deck below in a cabin adjacent to the bulkhead ahead, the droid reported. Tactical analysis suggests the likelihood of an ambush.
You don't say,
Anakin said.
What about Ganner?
Implant triangulation fixes Ganner Risode at 5 meters starboard and moving forward. Passive acoustics suggest the company of several guards. Vital readings satisfactory. Heart rate and respiration indicate deep sleep.
Come aghast but moving, Anakin surmised. They must be cutting their way from one cabin to another, or Jaina's squad would see them.
And they have Isol Amiri.
Alima Rar laid a hand on Anakin's arm and spoke so quietly that he had to lean his ear toward her breath mask.
The Yuuzhan Vong believe we are soft. They will try to use him against us.
Against us? Anakin found himself staring almost hypnotically into Alima's pale Twi'lek eyes. As bait? When she nodded, Anakin disengaged himself and ignited his lightsaber. Being careful not to penetrate all the way through, he plunged the blade into the floor and began to cut a circle. He had no real plan yet except to avoid the ambush, but walking into a trap was not going to save Ganner either. The Yorick coral was easier to cut than Durasteel, but it popped and cracked loudly as it melted, and Anakin worried that the enemy would not be as surprised as he hoped. Jason stepped to Anakin's side.
"What are you doing?"
The disappointment was evident on his face, and Anakin knew others could see it too.
"We should be going after Ganner."
"No, we must destroy the ambush party first," Alima said. "This is better."
"Better how?"
Jason asked. "Anakin can't keep sacrificing others to make his plans work. That way lies the dark side."
"Sacrificing others?"
Anakin did not look away from his work. "What are you talking about?"
"Yulaha and now Ganner," Jason said. "You told Yulaha to attack the Voxen, and now you're abandoning Ganner."
The accusations hit Anakin almost physically. His lightsaber slipped and cut a deep furrow across the floor, and he found himself glaring at his brother, sick with anger and hurt. "How can you think that?" he demanded. "Yulaha disobeyed orders. I wanted her to tell Duman Yacht the name of the base. I did not say to attack." Jason's cheeks flushed, then his jaw dropped, and he stood speechless for a long time. Finally, he stammered,
"Anakin, I'm sorry. When Yulaha attacked, I thought, I just assumed."
"I know what you assumed," Anakin said.
Though his brother's regret was evident on his crimson face, no apology could erase the doubt he had expressed about Anakin's character, nor the fact that he had been so quick to believe the worst, just as their father had when Chewbacca died. Anakin plunged his lightsaber back into the floor and continued to cut.
"Get away from me. You're holding things up."
Jason started to reply, but Tennel Kaw caught him by the arm and pulled him away.
"This cannot be resolved now, Jason. You must wait until later."
With Alima's help, Anakin cut the circle to within a few millimeters of the other side, then activated his comlink to warn Jaina about what they were doing. She and 2-4S were busy keeping the wounded Voxen trapped in the system's ducts. But she paused long enough to warn Zek and Raynar not to fire when figures started appearing in their corridor. Bella and Krossoff kicked the circle out, then lay on their bellies and vanished, one after the other, into the floor. The muffled zing of their repeated blasters immediately came back through the hole. Alima went next, diving headfirst. Then Anakin, lightsaber in one hand, concussion grenade in the other. On the other side, he slowed and landed feet first on what felt like the ceiling. The whine of blaster fire and drone splat of striking thud bugs drove Anakin against the wall. Mind struggling to reorient, he thumbed the arming switch of his grenade. A trio of would-be ambushers lay at the end of the corridor, Lundoon crab armor stitched with holes from the Barabel sisters' repeating blasters. The thud bugs came from the open door of the ambushers' cabin, and also from the bulkhead itself, where a pair of bridge guards wearing Nuliths were attacking through a jagged melt hole. He saw no sign of Ganner, but had not expected to. Anakin nodded across the corridor to Alima. She armed her own grenade, then they tossed the weapons into the ambush cabin. There were two bright flashes and a gut-deep jolt, and a tongue of flame shot into the corridor, reeking of scorched flesh. Waving the others to follow, Anakin charged forward behind the fiery curtain. A line of thud bugs crackled along the wall. Then one took him in the chest and slammed him down on his back. Bella and Krossoff pounded past, pouring blaster fire into the bulkhead, and Alima came next, pausing to pull him to his feet. It hurt to breathe, and he might have a cracked rib, but his jumpsuit's armored liner had spared him any blood or deep pain, He activated his comlink.
2-1-S, secure the bulkhead.
The droid appeared at the end of the corridor and dropped onto the bulkhead, now standing perpendicular to Anakin. The bridge guards swarmed him with thud bugs and magma pebbles, burning thumb-sized pits into his armor. He counterattacked with sensor-targeted blaster bolts and electro-rays, and the enemy fire withered. A sporadic stream of thud bugs began to assail 2-1-S from the deck where they had first located Ganner. The droid ignored this nuisance and dropped to his knees beside the melt holes, then fired into the bridge itself. Anakin sent Alima and the Barabel sisters to support the droid, then returned to the hole in the floor and dropped back through to the other side. Tisar and Lobaka were in the forward cabin, already outlining a new doorway with elastic detonite. As Anakin approached, the pair pressed themselves flat against the wall and ignited the charge with the tip of Loey's lightsaber. There was a sharp crack and the clatter of spraying shrapnel. Then smoke filled the air, and the new door remained closed. Tisar stepped away from the wall and sprang into the Yorick coral feet first. The slab flew into the adjacent cabin, slammed into something large, and drew a startled Yuuzhan Vong curse. Tisar silenced the voice with the staccato roar of his power blaster, then Lobaka charged in behind him. Anakin ignited his own lightsaber and heard the all-too-familiar burp of a voxen expelling acid. Anakin's thoughts leapt to Lobaka. He could not bear the thought of telling Chewbacca's family that another member had died with him. Then the brown mucus came shooting out of the makeshift door and splashed against the far wall. From inside came a Wookiee growl and the shrill sizzle of a lightsaber straining to cut, then a ghostly squeal of pain that quickly modulated into the opening burst of a screech attack. Tisar's power blaster roared again. The screech choked to an end. Anakin stepped through the doorway and found himself looking into a large wardroom, where a blaster-scorched voxen was scurrying toward a lopsided hole in the rear wall. The thing was missing at least a tail and two rear legs, but remained quick enough to dodge a blaster bolt. Scattered across the floor were nearly a dozen coma-gassed Yuuzhan Vong, but two more stood behind the claw-scarred remnants of an Isla Miri tree, their faces half-hidden behind Nulith's amphistaffs held ready. Tisar disposed of the sickly-looking Isla Miri with a quick shot from his power blaster, and the Yuuzhan Vong warriors rushed to do battle. Tisar brought his power blaster around and burned a hole through the chest armor of the first one, hurling him back against the wall. Anakin intercepted the second, freeing Lobaka to make one last stab at the vanishing voxen. The Yuuzhan Vong tried to pin Anakin against the wall, changing his amphistaff into a whip form and flicking the fanged head at the Jedi's eyes. It was a tired tactic, almost disrespectful. Anakin feigned a stumble and dropped into a crouch, catching the attack on his lightsaber's fiery blade. The serpent recoiled. Anakin posted his free hand, whipped his feet around, and trapped the Yuuzhan Vong's knees, scissored his legs. The warrior yelled and hit the floor like a bag of rocks. The amphistaff struck again. Anakin blocked, flicked the thing away, brought his own blade down across the enemy's throat. As the head rolled away, he spun toward the rear wall and was relieved to find Lobaka holding yet another voxen leg. The Wookiee's disappointed growls left no doubt that the creature had escaped, but Anakin was happy enough to see him standing. He gathered his own feet beneath him and saw, as he had feared, no sign of Ganner in the room. Anakin noticed a chill along his spine and realized that his sense of the Yuuzhan Vong had returned. Then he felt Jason's touch brush his mind. There was also another sensation, the familiar hunger of the voxen, wounded and angry, lurking somewhere in the ducts. They would hunt it down later, after the vessel was secure. Waving his lightsaber out the door to avoid being blasted by a mini-cannon, Anakin motioned Tisar and Lobaka after him and stepped into the corridor. Jaina's voice came over the comlink.
"What's that I feel? It can't be a voxen. 2-4-S and I killed it. I'm looking at its body right now."
"Just keep an eye on those ducts," Anakin said, resisting the urge to calm 2-1-S about the odds of all three escaping the thermal detonator. "There's another one."
He turned toward the bulkhead and found 2-1-S kneeling over the shredded door valve, firing an intimidating but relatively harmless stream of non-lethal bolts into the bridge. There was no return fire, but the droid's armor was pocked and smoking from head to foot, with several fist-deep craters where the Yuuzhan Vong had managed to concentrate their attacks. Anakin dropped down beside the droid and the rest of the assault squad. There was a definite Yuuzhan Vong presence on the bridge, but the feeling was too murky for him to tell how many or what condition. YVH-21S turned toward him. Bulkhead secure, but the enemy is holding one captive, Jedi Rysod, on the bridge. His photoreceptors were shattered and smeared with thud bug juice. Currently 2:11 ahead of schedule. You expected something else? Anakin had intended to sound cocky like his father, but the effect was ruined when a pang from his bruised ribs made him squeak out the last two words. He glanced onto the bridge, then said, "You don't look so good, 2-1-S. We'll finish without you." "Affirmative," the droid answered. "Sensor systems unstable." Rather than risk a security trap by entering through the bridge's battered entrance valve, Anakin dropped to his belly beside the melt holes and peered through. On the other side lay more than a dozen Yuuzhan Vong, most deep in a coma gas sleep. Some had nulus fastened over their faces, no doubt placed there by well-meaning comrades who had not realized that an antidote agent would be required to awaken their comrades. A handful of warriors lay in the awkward positions of their death throes, their wounds still smoking from the heat of the fatal blaster strike. The cognition hood used to steer the vessel dangled a few centimeters above the comatose pilot's blank face, while the neural interface gloves employed in regulating the ship's systems lay draped over several different control consoles, usually with the hands of a dozing Yuuzhan Vong crew member still wearing them. Anakin was disappointed to find the command chair empty and no one lying within 3 meters of it. Duman Yacht had escaped the coma gas. "It doesn't look like there's much happening," Anakin said, speaking to Lobaka, Tisar, and the rest of the assault squad. "But be careful. We don't want to get careless and blast Ganner by mistake."
"You're sure?"
Tahiri asked, drawing a laugh from the others. Anakin allowed himself a chuckle but said, "At least for now." He ignited his lightsaber and dived through the melt hole head first, then felt an attack coming and brought his blade around to block. The thud bug sizzled out of existence with a sharp hiss, and Anakin spun in the direction of the assault, stepping forward to protect those who would be following him. "Very impressive, Jedi." Anakin looked toward the voice and found Duman Yacht, wearing a nulith and standing behind an instrument console, Ganner Rysod's limp form held in front with a kufi to the throat. "There you are." Anakin peered around the bridge. "All alone, it seems. Lay down your weapons," the commander said cautiously, "and your leader will live to meet our war master." Anakin thumbed off his lightsaber, then as Lobaka and Tisar stepped onto the bridge, drew his blaster pistol. "You really don't know Ganner, do you?" Anakin asked. "What makes you think he's that important? You came after him, did you not?" Duman Yacht retreated a few steps, bringing Ganner around to shield him from all three Jedi. "We have studied you, Jedi. When it comes to the death of your fellows, you are soft." "Not that soft." Anakin leveled his blaster pistol at the commander's head, and Tisar did the same with his power blaster. "But I'll offer you a deal. If you surrender, we'll put you off in the shuttle with the rest of your crew." Duman Yacht's eyes hardened. "And dishonor Duman Yacht?" He ran the kufi lightly along Ganner's throat, drawing a 2-centimeter-long trickle of blood. "Yuuzhan Vong do not surrender." "Really?" Anakin reached out with the force and used it to push the kufi away from Ganner's neck. Eyes growing wide, Duman Yacht struggled for a moment to bring the blade back to his captive's throat, then snarled something in his own language and let it fly from his grasp. When the other hand twitched and started to rise, his head vanished in a convergence of blaster fire.
By this one's broken tail.
Tisar slung his power blaster over his shoulder and stepped forward to pluck Ganner out of the mess.
They don't surrender.